Well, you know who that is. That's Bob Marley and the Wailers with No More Trouble. It's from his 1973 album, Catch a Fire. It was a winner of an album, very popular all around the world. It was their first album released by Island Records. Marley died on May the 11th, 1981. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off with each other just yesterday. And I wanted to talk about, of course, the man of the hour, Mr. Trump. Ex-President Donald Trump has new stationery. It lists his title as, quote, former President of the United States, unquote, and has a return address at Mar-a-Lago, Florida, the upscale private club and compound where Trump and wife Melania are bunkered in until a court decides whether they're living there illegally or not. And if found to be living there illegally, obviously they'll be kicked out. Trump's mind is on another court right now. A U.S. Senate.
Does he know something? Does he has he gotten a hint that he's on safe ground, that efforts would be made to protect him from conviction, and that he has nothing to worry about? Why is a president so overconfident that there is no way that he will be convicted? What clues do you think he has, or what information do you think he has, if he has any at all? 888-874-4888. Let's see if we can get some answers of our own based on your own analysis. I'd love to know, what do you think? What information might he have, or what indications does he have that this much vaunted trial against him, this impeachment trial, will actually result in impeachment? 888-874-4888. All righty, Tony from Orlando, you're starting us off today. You're on the air.
Hi, Chief. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Well, in regards to your question, what does Trump know that gives him the confidence that he's going to be acquitted? As of recent, I believe they just had a vote on whether or not the impeachment was constitutional or unconstitutional, correct?
Yes.
And in that vote, only five Republicans voted for it being constitutional, which means that this impeachment is 12 votes shy of proceeding as far as an acquittal. I mean, as far as a conviction, because I believe they would need 17 Republican votes to
Yes.
and all 50 or 51 votes on the Democrat side to get a conviction. You need a was that supermajority or something like that?
Yes, I'm listening.
So if only five Republican senators think that proceeding would be constitutional, I think that, I mean, that's a high hurdle. I mean, now you're gonna you have 45 Republicans that believe it's unconstitutional to impeach a president after they have left office, which is why I believe a couple of weeks ago I called your show up and I said, why was Nancy Pelosi holding on to this article of this single article of impeachment? Why didn't they send it ASAP? If what happened in the Capitol was such a disaster and such an emergency, why hold on to it until after President Trump left office in order to send it to the Senate? Because as soon as the Congress issues the article of impeachment, as soon as they send it to the Senate's supposed to drop everything, and they're supposed to attend to the matter. There was plenty of time to have this trial before Joe Biden was sworn in. And I believe if they were really wanted to inflict harm or to punish Trump, it should have been done at that moment, because that was during the heat of the moment. You had Republicans that were equally upset about what happened. But since, if you recall Lindsey Graham, the day of the insurrection, he even was upset. But all it took was one trip to the airport, to your local airport, to switch your mind right back and get back online and know your place. And unfortunately, they've waited too long. The Republicans have regrouped. They're not going to convict Donald Trump on this.
Don't you think that Nancy Pelosi knows the value of time, and especially in a situation like this when the head of state is the target, all the more reason to be very circumspect about time and timeliness. So if she is, you have to be in a coma to not understand the value of time in a situation like this. What would account for the almost casual approach to doing things in a timely fashion rather than risk default because of time?
Because I don't think what happened in the Capitol, I think we as the American people were more offended as to what we saw on television that occurred that day than Nancy Pelosi. I don't think she's as offended as even if they destroyed her office and ransacked it and stole the things and all that. Yeah, but me seeing the Confederate flag in the Capitol in 2021, still flying, okay? There was a, what they had, they had a noose propped up on the outside of the Capitol. Yeah. We saw images like that. We saw a man with an Auschwitz camp sweatshirt, okay? The Trump sign, the Trump flag. You know what I see that flag as being today? That is the modern-day Confederate flag. That's what I see that. When you see it, people see Trump signs now, it's a racist flag. You might as well just say racist on it, okay? That's what I see now. And this
so
is coming
think
from a person.
That these are all you're thinking these are all indications or signals that from the start they had second thoughts about being brutal against Trump and really going at him in terms of a prosecution.
I think the damage is done on that part as far as the impeachment. I think as far as the actual punishment, what we would want to see, somebody pay for this whole awakening, so to speak. Even though it's been there, it's like that sleeping giant that we have of racism in this country. But the whole brewing of it and the emboldening of it and making somebody accountable for that and the ultimate consequence of what we saw come from it, they're not going to punish him for that because he has the right to do that. We see this all the time. You mentioned it before. This is not the first time we see certain people are privileged to certain behaviors. and not have to face consequences. And this is just another one of those.
All right. So let me ask you again to just restate your position, which is Trump is not going to be convicted.
No, he's not going to be convicted because it's obvious. I mean, like I said, all you have to do is simple math. Only five Republicans went along with stating that this impeachment is constitutional. That says that the 12 they needed, if you would have had 17 Republicans say that it's constitutional, then you will have the votes. But it's already clear that there's no votes, not enough votes coming from the Republican side to convict.
And this emboldens Trump. Trump is encouraged to believe that things are going his way.
Oh, and him being impeached twice and acquitted twice is definitely emboldening him, and they're wearing it as a badge of honor. So what I will caution the Biden administration is on this, and I'm going to say it nice and early. They need to be careful, okay, overstepping and overreaching on their agenda, because you will give an excuse and an avenue for the right to rear its ugly head right back in 2024 and as soon as 2022.
All right. Thank you for getting us started today. Thanks for sharing your opinion. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Eutrice?
Okay, hanging in. How are you?
Hanging on. I mean, it's easy to see why Trump would think he's going to get away with this. I mean, we have a history. We've had at least four presidents that have done impeachable things. We had Reagan, who introduced the Iran-Contra and drugs on this country. If you read the San Jose Mercury News, we had both Bushes, who instituted illegal wars. We had the Clintons, who have done a myriad of things, from the savings and loan scandal to Haiti to a whole bunch of nefarious acts. So I don't know why he would think he was going to be convicted by these people anyway.
So you think he's already gotten enough clues, he's gotten enough hints that things very early on started in his behalf, that he has no reason to feel that he's going to be convicted?
Yeah, well, he's gotten all the signals. He's gotten all the clues. I think there's too much corruption in this government. There are no good actors. There are no decent actors anymore. And the whole thing, everyone's trying to cover their own behind. So in an environment like that, a person like Trump is going to thrive. He's going to survive because of the environment. And that's why we've got to really look at how we're going to approach this Biden presidency, especially due to the fact that I believe this is going to be accepted, like all other impeachable acts have been accepted throughout this country's recent history. And we really got to look at...
What does this say about the Democratic leadership? They're not spring chickens. They've been in this business for a long time. What you're saying, in effect, is we have gotten clear evidence by their actions that their actions are not jiving with the seriousness of the moment, and we can't see how they line things up. For example, you have one charge. So it's not even a case where if one charge is weak, if the charge is weak, there's another charge that you can press to see whether, of course, you can prevail. But to start out with just one charge, and even as stated, there isn't a strong, unless they're hoping to save that for the actual trial itself, but it seems very general. It doesn't seem very specific in terms of getting to the point of, did Donald Trump engage in insurrection by encouraging people to descend on the Capitol and do violence there, including taking the lives of five people were at stake in this thing. So do you believe that there is a disconnect here between the so-called experience and expertise of these leaders, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and you're going up now directly against the President of the United States and on these charges? It seems to me that you would want to have an ironclad case, and you would want to have a fallback position already in place. But to come to this process with one charge, and it is not that specific, seems a little odd to me. Does it seem a little bit odd to you?
Well, I mean, of course it's odd. I mean, you're dealing with legislators who are not political novices. They know their way around the bill. They know their way around the law. And they have enough advisors to give an ironclad charge if you're going to make it. There was a time factor involved. There was a past when the first impeachment, you had him dead on the emoluments clause. You had him dead on coercion clauses. You didn't push that. I mean, this is a pathetic game. And the more we look at it, the more pathetic, in my opinion, it becomes. The American people are not that stupid. I think the American people are tired, and we're looking for an answer, and we've got to get within ourselves to find this answer, because our political leaders are so wrapped up in the benefits of being in charge that they don't even have the ability to give the preacher. They're so wrapped up in themselves and in their little cabal of power, believing that they're some type of elite, that they're beyond the ability to realize that they are public servants. This man should be in jail. He should have been in jail a long time ago. We've already been through the fact that he's mentally insane. So, I mean, I don't expect anything from them now. What I expect is that the same thing that has to happen now happened years ago. History repeats itself. We got to develop strong movements in this country to confront these people, either force them out of office or force them to capitulate. And not violently. You had a, in the 30s and the 20s and the 30s, you had a strong socialist movement. You had a strong labor movement. You had a strong socialized movement. And people had an idea of what the value of life was and what they should receive as far as government. And they forced the FDR to do that because FDR was from the elite and he didn't want to do it. He was forced. And that's what we got to do again. We can't depend on these people. These people are a joke.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks a lot for contributing today. Ron from Queens, you're on the air.
How you doing, Eugene?
Fine, thanks. What do you think about, you know, what might be going on in Donald Trump's head to make him act? Well, of course, he naturally acts cocky, but there seems to be a suggestion in his behavior that he has nothing to worry about.
Okay, I might be a little mixed up on this, Eugene. But I heard you say that the congressman voted on whether this was constitutional. Did I hear that right?
No, because I'm saying go ahead.
No, I understand what you're asking me. But I'm saying that the determination of whether something is constitutional, if I remember correctly, comes from the Supreme Court. You know,
well, this is a very interesting question because they are acting literally as officers of the court. So one would imagine that if anybody in Washington knows what is legal, what is not legal, what is constitutional, what is not constitutional, it would be the people who are in charge of making the laws.
Okay, yes, but that's the legislature. That's not, I mean, the Supreme Court, this is separation of powers, supposedly, okay? And if something is unconstitutional, that, from my understanding, is determined by the Supreme Court, not by Congress, because that's another house, just like the executive is another house. So,
but they have power to charge. They have the power to bring someone to account under the law. And this is what the rationale is for charging the president as if,
yes,
you know, they totally agree with you. Yes.
I totally agree. But at some point, right, if Trump says that this is unconstitutional, right, as a matter of fact, isn't there supposed to be the head of the Supreme Court supposed to be involved in this?
You know, I don't know the answer to that particular question. I don't.
Okay.
I think they're monitoring it, but I don't think that they're in charge of it because the Senate has its own powers according to the Constitution. This is one of the powers they have. They have the power to take action against the chief executive if they believe it is warranted, and they have the power to put that person on trial. They have the power to convict. They have the power to acquit.
Right. And then also Trump would have the power to appeal, right?
Of course. Yes.
Okay. So that's where I'm talking about the Supreme Court coming in.
I don't know how that works. I don't know how it works. I'll be very honest with you. I have no idea. In that phase, I have no idea how it works.
Okay. Let me just say this. It seems like, you know, to me, I like to follow finance, all right? Follow the markets. And for the longest time, the markets has been saying that our economic situation is irreversible, that, you know, a crash was inevitable. And then it seems like everything is just going to pot at one time, you know, with the closing of all the businesses and whatnot. It just doesn't, you know.
How does that fit into the question I'm asking, though?
I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent. I'm sorry about that. I finished with that because, you know, we both don't really know for sure what that legal conundrum might be.
But so we still can, with some degree of confidence, speculate based on what we know has happened up until this point. What is it that you think might be emboldening Donald Trump, that he feels confident that there is no possibility of a conviction?
Let's look at this. If he gets convicted, right? Let's say he gets convicted. What are the consequences? He gets impeached?
Oh, yes. That's the whole point of the trial.
Is there any other
It's an impeachment trial.
Yes. Yeah, are there any other consequences?
Well, then they will move it to the next level to see whether he should be expelled from his office.
Well, when I mean to the consequences that I'm talking about is to his person. You know, will he be put in jail?
I don't know what the consequences are for an act of sedition, because that's a whole level of law.
Sedition is 20 years, I believe.
I'm sorry?
So I said, from my information, sedition is 20 years. But this is impeachment. You know, they would have to do something else.
Impeachment on the charge is what I'm pointing to. Yes, the reason they're impeaching him is because they're accusing him of playing a major role in what turned out to be, sedition, the attempt to overthrow the government. We've never seen this before. I don't know what the literature says about it. We'll have to rely on the so-called legal experts to tell us what are the unique circumstances in this case that will cause a consideration of further charges or further punishment against Trump if convicted.
Right, that's what I was getting at. Okay, well, that's my add to it. I have nothing else to say.
Okay, thank you, Ron, for calling in and contributing. I appreciate it. Ali from New York, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you? How are things for you right now?
We're all hanging in.
Yeah, just like it, hanging in by our thumbs. Yes, I have been listening, but this is what I wanted to say. You asked a question if we think that he's going to be found Trump, of course, guilty or not guilty. Well, his evil genius, I just heard that expression today, the evil genius of McConnell, and when I said evil genius, he, in the family of evil, he's a genius. That's how I see him. And McConnell, actually, at the beginning, before Biden got sworn in, remember, he was giving the sign that, yes, I'm going to go for it, and maybe I could think about finding him guilty or voting to find him guilty, whatever, before even a trial. How can you find somebody guilty if you don't have a trial? But that's another story. Now his indication is turning around, and he's telling Mr. Trump, no, I think we are with you, and I'm going to show you that we are with you. And you heard what he said lately, that he is—he doesn't think that this trial should go, that you have a trial against Trump. Not only him, but also some Republicans. They have come very strongly about it. So right there is an indication where the Republicans, the possibility is that they're not going to vote for that impeachment. And that is why Mr. Trump is counting already with being found not guilty. But this is another thing. Do you remember Al Green?
Sure.
From Texas.
I played his entire speech in the issue of South Carolina when we had those racists attacking or demonstrating, and nobody said anything, but he stood up on the floor, too, of Congress, and he made a speech about why it is important to address this question.
Yes. He said that the men should have been impeached by high crime and misdemeanors. That's what he said. And he went out and he actually gave it some examples of the things that he had done that he should be impeached. Have you seen Mr. Al Green between all this time now that he's been impeached for the second time? You didn't see him on the first impeachment, and now you don't see him on the second impeachment. So Al Green had been put in on the back burner. And Al Green said it right. He said it. This man has shown a sign of bigotry. He said that the people in Charlottesville, in Virginia, they were good people. And he referred more to there were good people on both sides. But you know who he was talking about.
Yes.
And he gave it a few examples of what these men had done. And they still, he still, they didn't still consult with him. And he's a lawyer about why these men should be impeached. And like David always said, the oligarchy, he's part of the oligarchs. So do you think Pelosi is interested in this to find this man guilty? Do you think that Schumer is interested in being found guilty? The evil genius McConnell and the rest of them, that they have money? These people, they create the law for us. So do you think they create law for them? No. And when they're being found guilty, oh, look what he did. Look how all these people with money, they were able to get pardoned. See, so they have... But for half of the people in prison right now, it has been for non-violent crime.
Let's look, Ali, at the specifics of this case. In any event, the case rests on evidence against the target, which is, of course, Donald Trump. What do you have a clear idea of the argument that they're making and whether it makes sense or whether it is strong enough and within the context of the law, especially we are not legal experts. We don't know what the laws of sedition are. But do you think that from the very beginning, they considered, I mean, they had people to talk to, they could have consulted with others and so forth. Do you think that they intended this case to stick from the beginning?
No. I know, because from the beginning, this man has been exciting all the people to commit crimes. And that is why some people had died. So do you think just because he went to the Capitol, he was right in D.C. asking people to come to defend him, that's going to stick? Unless there is a miracle, I don't see that charge to stick.
And if this is what you see, what then is your opinion about the process, about the party, about this whole legal apparatus? Is it effective? Is it worth it hanging on to it? Or is it something that we should just set aside because it's ineffective?
Well, it's ineffective for the people with money and the people in government. It's effective for the little people like us. And it's a fact. And also, it's ineffective. It's going to be ineffective for the white supremacy, because we don't know if some of these people are going to be convicted. That is one thing. The people with privilege, they're always going to have privilege in this country, even if we like it or not. And there is two people with privilege in this country, people with money and the people with the right color. And if you have both together, You are in the top of the pyramid. So unless there is a miracle that they present something really, really strong against this man, I just don't see those charges. I don't have any confidence in the system. I really don't.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for contributing. From New York, Mohammed, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. I sincerely hope you're... health continues to improve.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You know, I'll say this and then I'll go right to my point. You have some very wise, intelligent, and insightful audience or listeners, and I really applaud them. Now, what is the question for me?
Oh, we're talking about what you think might be the reason. I mean, other than the fact that Donald Trump is Donald Trump, he boasts, he talks a lot about himself, et cetera, et cetera. But in this case, when he's facing impeachment for the second time in just his first and only term, he seems inordinately confident. What do you think that is due to? To what do you attribute that? And is it significant? Should we be paying attention to that or just, cast it off as yet another way that Trump deals with the world?
Yes, he thinks that he won't be held accountable or punished for what he do, but that was inciting insurrection. Now, Donald Trump said many years ago that he could kill someone on Fifth Avenue and not be punished for it. But I'll say this, it's very important that the Senate continue, because that was a crime he committed. That was inciting insurrection, whether he's convicted
or not. We have to be careful now. We can't say it's a crime he committed.
He allegedly
committed.
He allegedly, right? It's necessary that you go through with the process, because if there's no consequences, then the next person could come along and do that also. I think they didn't do that before the inauguration was because they didn't want to distract from the inauguration and get bogged down in that and then disrupt that transfer of power or that process. That's my feeling. It's just like, say, myself. If someone disrespect me as a young person when I was a little wild, win, lose, or draw, you wasn't going to disrespect me and get away with it, right? And it should be the same way with the sentence. You commit a crime, even if those people that vote against, that might not vote for impeachment, the rest of the world is seeing what America's about, and they're exposing him in the rest of the world. And I say that because my perception in many ways is a little different from y'all. America is in the process of a demise and decline, just like the empires. And that is what you become or get in your last stages, is people like Trump. You look at Nero. So whether they convict or not, it's very important that he be exposed. And those who vote against it, when the evidence is overwhelming, they will also be exposed and seen for the rogue country that America really is. Not, I shouldn't say America, but those rogue guys up there in the suits. Most Americans are good
people.
What
is that noise? Is that a fire thing?
That's my, that's the smoke detector. I got to put a battery in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm just wondering if it's in my house.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for concern. I really appreciate that. And
thank you very
feeling,
much for contributing. Thank you. Randy from New Jersey. Okay. Thank you. Randy from New Jersey. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon.
What gives Trump and others, and it's pervasive throughout the Republican Party now that we see, the idea that these charges or this charge against him will not stick?
There's a lot of indications for that. Not just the fact that McCarthy and McConnell have flip-flopped on terms of their, condemning his participation in stoking the flames for what happened on January the 6th. But I think it even goes a little deeper than that, to the extent that it reflects a mindset that exists in this country that is fostering division politically, that is a part of what I mentioned the other day, which is this kabuki theater, this drama that has to be played out that distracts common people and puts them at odds with each other, then rather than dealing with the power structure of the global economy that takes advantage of the fact that people are using their energy to attack each other versus trying to dismantle the structure that puts us in this position in the first place. My point simply gets to the fact that not only does he get the signals from the Republican Party in terms of the leadership, but you also see it being played out with the representative from Georgia, Marjorie Greene, in terms of her stating that people who didn't support Donald Trump and were did not support the turning over the elections and that Trump won and that whole agenda, that she is not going to be censored or taken out of leadership positions in terms of the committee assignments by the GOP party, and that she's just going to have a conversation with McCarthy about her statements. But her tone and her attitude is a continuation of this phenomenon known as Trumpism, or going back even further, Tea Partyism, or even going back even further, McCarthyism. And then you go back even further, Jim Crowism. And then go back even further, the antebellum era where Reconstruction was in place, where they didn't want anyone, persons of color, to actually have the ability to exercise their rights within a democracy, theoretical democracy. My point is that this is a mindset, and Trump knows that that mindset exists. As Ed from Jamaica had mentioned, that there was no accountability held for the crimes of previous presidents, you know, going back from, you know, they mentioned around Iran-Contra scandal and then the things that happened since then. So our culture, unfortunately, we are accustomed to watching TV programs whereby we are on a cliffhanger, and every week we have to get back on the TV and see what's going to happen. So, you know,
It's a bad series.
This is exactly what's happening now. So right now, everyone's glued to the TV set, waiting for the thing to happen so they can tune in next week to see the drama. This is a drama, a televised political, economic nightmare, fatal theater, or mortal theater of some sort, where we're all glued to see what's going to happen next. We know what's going to happen next. The Cold War taught us the fact that there has to be an enemy in order for us to, you know, take resources and take it out of the supporting human the human needs of a country to put it into the military-industrial complex. We were warned by Eisenhower about that very fact. So the military-industrial complex then turned into the prison-industrial complex and is turned into the pharmaceutical complex. And so we are dealing with a mindset where our minds have been overrun with these complexes that keep our attention focused on this drama where it's good versus evil. And now this is just being played out even more. So whether Trump gets convicted or not, that's not the issue. They're going to keep the drama going so that we don't focus on what's really important, which is the power structure of the global elites that are using capital against our own interests.
But you're also saying, Randy, if I understand you correctly, that in this particular scenario, there is no distinction in the sense of the purpose of the parties themselves, like the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, when we should be seeing stark differences.
Yes.
But we're not seeing that. Are you seeing that?
No, they're playing their roles. They're playing their roles. Trump already got the script, just like Biden got the script, and Pelosi got the script, and McConnell got the script, and Schumer got the script. And as the sister had mentioned, Mr. Green, he got the script too, but he tore it up and threw it away. He's like, wait, I'm not reading from this. This is nonsense. So when he deviated from the script, he was isolated. And, you know, they've done that plenty of times. Bernie did the same thing to the script, but they kept putting him back in the corner saying, listen, no one's going to pay attention to you because we're not going to give you the opportunity to speak the truth. You're going to play your role, or we're going to isolate you and make you a persona non grata, where you're not going to be heard. So people who play this game, and this is a game, and we know it's a game, but we also have to play our role in this game, which is say, okay, we're going to change the rules, and we're going to set up a different way of accountability for ourselves. So we're going to start to spend our money in different places on a daily basis. We're going to set up local means of networking and dealing with accountability and leadership. And then we're going to take that and multiply it out so that we have these situations happening that are going to govern according to the needs of families and working people around the country and connecting that with the rest of the planet. So they're playing their role.
I hope it is occurring to you, as you say it, that we should understand that there is no definitive difference ideologically about what is happening here. That's a pretty heavy charge against the Democrats and those Republicans who refuse so far to go along, the five measly Republicans who will not participate in this in their predicted roles.
Well,
that's a heavy charge.
You're right, but it's if you look at the history, it bears itself out. Even going back even further, unfortunately, when there was no accountability, when Ronald Reagan and held the hostages prior to his voting in the 1980 election, where he won because there was a negotiation to have that be something that President Carter at the time would have as a loss in terms of, you know, not being able to get the hostages back. There was an agreement between the Republican Party and Tehran to hold the hostages until after the election, and then Reagan can take that as a victory. That right there is treason, but the public didn't know that, and they couldn't respond to it because they didn't have the information. At that point, that's when the Democrats lost, because they could have been said, hey, wait a minute, this is a problem. We need to investigate this. We need to go after him, and they needed to continue to go after him, especially with the Iran-Contra scandal, and they did not do that because there was some benefit for them to have drugs coming into the community, dismantling the lives of people of color, creating this false war over in the between Iraq and Iran to support the agenda of global capitalism. So, I mean, at that point, they did, again, with Clinton, the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, so that, you know, this created the problem with the financial crisis that came back with the savings loan industry, and then with the financial crisis that happened in 2008. So the Democrats are part of this process as well. Clinton hires Larry Summers, who was from Wall Street, who was supposed to be the Treasury Secretary, who was a part and parcel to the whole demise of the economy at that point. So, I mean, no, there is no distinction. There's a donkey and an elephant, and they're trying to tell us that they're that's the choices we have in terms of how we are to view our relationship with politics. And right now, folks are watching with bated breath, looking at the TV, waiting for the next episode to unfold, the drama. We're a drama culture, and we've been indoctrinated to that, and that's why we can't get away from the TV. Politically,
well, your presentation today is itself a drama. You communicated your views very well, and I thank you for that, for sharing your ideas and sharing your theories with us.
Thank you for having me.
So that we can at least have another angle to this whole thing that's unfolding.
Yes.
Thank you, Randy, very much.
Thank you.
That brings us to the end of our program today. I want to thank you all for contributing so meaningfully, as you always do. I'm very, very proud to be associated with you. I'm very proud to be in your company. and let's keep it going. We will see where this goes, because I think there are so many angles to this story that have yet to unfold. But we will see, because we will be talking about it. That's the whole point, to talk. Look how much education we have benefited from just today alone. People talking. And it is not important whether you're right or you're wrong. It is important whether you're presenting a considered opinion that in turn we can consider. Thank you so much for that, for keeping things pretty high. I like that very much. So this brings us to the end of our program today. Let's get together tomorrow, Free Your Mind Friday, and see what else you have to say. We'll talk some more. Bye-bye.